Today, financial realities hit home after the RBA rate hike. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, from the List Post covering finance and property news. Well, on Tuesday, the RBA lifted the cash rate to a stonking 4.35% in the third move in three decisions. Those following this channel would not have been surprised, as I have signalled this coming for some time. This despite the pressures that many households are under, as costs have been rising, inflation has been biting, and real incomes continue to track south. Now, there were a few economists who came out with the view that the RBA made a mistake, but this is really missing the main points. So with the help of the recently released Statement on Monetary Policy, which contains the assumptions behind the RBA's decisions, we're going to look at this today. And this is extra important ahead of the budget next week, where it is likely, despite the spin, we're likely to see more pressure being piled on those hard-won consumers. The Reserve Bank Governor Michelle Bullock warned Treasurer Jim Chalmers and the states that extra spending in their budgets will make it harder for the central bank to reduce surging inflation, as she delivered that consecutive third interest rate rise. Actually, Jim Chalmers, who's going to hand down his fifth budget next Tuesday, was very quick, perhaps too quick, to blame rising inflation on the Middle East war, but then did concede that the RBA's decision will make it tougher for Australians. Speaking to reporters in Canberra, the rest of the Australian economy is getting, quote, absolutely pummeled by this war in the Middle East, and added the government was not to blame for Tuesday's rate decision. Pig flying past the window there. While we already had an inflation challenge in our economy, the war in the Middle East is making this challenge worse, and we expect the impact of this to continue for some time, he said. The duration and severity of the conflict will determine how much more pressure it adds to global inflation and how much it's going to hit growth. And he's ladled on the spin, saying, we need to recognise that the Reserve Bank statement does not point to public spending as a factor in their decision to increase interest rates today. To those people who are pretending that the government's budget is the sole driver of prices in an economy or interest rate decisions, they weren't saying that last year when interest rates were cut three times. So he skirted around the issue, and it's not the sole driver. The cash rate hike to 4.35% from 4.1% was actually by a vote of 8-1 on Tuesday, and that's unwound all of last year's cycle of monetary easing. And it's been underscoring the fact that the aggressive tightening was needed to tame stubbornly strong inflation due to domestic issues, oversupply constraints in the economy. In the press conference, Governor Bullock went even further, as highlighting the government's spending was a factor in the deliberations. It doesn't take much additional spending to make the job of returning inflation to target more challenging, she said. The extent to which government makes up the shortfalls for households by giving them more money makes it harder to dampen demand. We are poorer, and there is no way out of that. And then on top of that, the incoming energy shock will certainly lift prices. And she discussed the rounds of impact that that could have. Actually, it's not so much directly the price of oil, petrol and diesel, but the second round effects of price hikes, because energy costs are embedded in so many other activities, both goods and services across the economy. And then she was also concerned about the longer term inflation expectations, because if those get embedded into future wages claims, then the inflation feedback loop is complete and it's very hard to diffuse. And she said, higher fuel prices are adding to inflation, and there are indications this is likely to have second-round effects on prices of goods and services more broadly. This inflation impulse is in addition to the high inflation recorded through the start of 2026, reflecting capacity pressures in the economy. Now, true, the RBA's decision did cement the RBA's outlier status among global counterparts. The Fed left rates unchanged last week, though there were divisions deepening over there about the outlook, while the European Central Bank and the Bank of England appear to be edging towards hikes as soon as June, perhaps along with the Bank of Japan. So higher rates are coming. The question is when. Actually, the trifecta of hikes is a role reversal for the RBA, which last year had been boasting it hadn't needed to raise interest rates as high as peers to cool the post-COVID inflation surge. But this meant that the earlier inflation surge linked significantly to high levels of state and federal spending and to a massive growth in public sector jobs, killed productivity and simply revealed that they lifted too low and too late. As a result, the point where inflation falls back into band simply keeps getting kicked out. And yes, in the latest statement of monetary policy, they kicked it out again. So while this time the monetary experiment has flipped, with Bullock and her board at the front of the pack with their hawkish response, the question now becomes, will the RBA's increase succeed in taming inflation expectations without creating a recession? But that's run the counter argument. What else could the governor have done? Look through the energy shock and hope for the best? Well, we've seen that movie before when Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell led the world with this transitory interpretation of the post-COVID inflation spike. And no one wants that sequel. This time around, the RBA has been forced to take the hawkish lead among developed peers because inflation pressures were already bubbling along before the war in Iran. A big spending government has made life even tougher for Bullock, as has an alarming stalling in productivity. With the government still reluctant to rein in spending, with newspapers speculating there'll be cash giveaways announced at next week's federal budget, it's been left up to Bullock to play the bad cop. Actually, when a reporter noted anecdotes of people having to skip meals in order to pay their mortgages, Bullock acknowledged the harshness of monetary policy. People often say to me, you must have a better thing than the interest rate. Well, we don't. It's all we have, she said. The instrument rate is the tool we've got, and it's blunt. Two observations here. It's not the only tool. They have others. They could direct lending if they choose. And secondly, of course, the interest rate lever, yes, it is blunt. And sometimes the medicine is worse than the cure. One reason to increase interest rates was to give ourselves space now to sit and see what happens, she said. We feel we've now got to a position where we've got space to be alert now to both sides of the risk to inflation, upside and downside. The market is still expecting another rate hike to 4.6%, with a 17% probability of that at the next meeting. Actually, prior to the press conference, they were pricing in almost 60% chance of two more hikes by the end of the year. The combination of high borrowing costs and the spike in gasoline prices will lead to slower economic growth and higher unemployment, the RBA said in its quarterly update on economic forecasts. Core inflation is predicted to continue to overshoot the RBA's 2-3% target through this year and into next. Australians are poorer because of the shock, Bullock told reporters. Under its latest forecast, trimmed mean inflation was seen rising to 3.8% in June, cooling to 3.5% in December, and then 3.1% in the middle of 2027. It is then expected to come down further to around 2.5% target midpoint by the end of 2027. The latest estimates are based on the assumption of a cash rate peak of 4.7% over the forecast horizon, which is actually what the markets were signaling before this all started. In February, the cash rate was setting a high of 4.3% in December 2027, so things have certainly changed. Economic growth was downgraded from 1.8% to 1.3% in 2026, and from 1.6% to 1.4% in the middle of 2028. That's the end of the RBA's forecast horizon. This is the lowest medium-term growth forecast the RBA has ever predicted. The central baseline forecasts also showed the unemployment rate will gradually drift higher from 4.3% to 4.7% by June 2028. The adverse scenario, though, it's a worst-case scenario to illustrate the uncertainty in the economic outlook. And in that adverse scenario, modelled by the bank, oil prices average as high as $145 US, and the global economy slows dramatically. And in that case, unemployment could reach as high as 5.1%. That's a rate last recorded in October 2021. The RBA operates under a dual mandate that aims for inflation at the 2.5% midpoint in its target, while trying to keep the economy at maximum sustainable employment. Chalmers, by the way, is set to include further household relief in next week's budget in the form of a one-off earned income offset, probably somewhere between $200 and $300 for salaried workers. The income offset adds to cost of living measures already announced by the Albanese government, including the three-month halving of the fuel excise to 23.6 cents, which is going to cost the government around $2.55 billion in revenue foregone, and also $1 billion in interest-free loans for businesses squeezed by higher fuel costs. Now, asked whether the offset would compound the inflation problem, Chalmers said he won't add to budget speculation. But government sources confirm the offset, which will apply next financial year and would be included in the budget as part of the compact with younger generations to redistribute tax cuts and deal with intergenerational inequality. And by the way, Chalmers did agree that the Victorian government spending in its budget on Tuesday was not helping, saying the aggregate of state and federal government spending was a factor. It matters, he said. Actually, Victoria's budget on Tuesday unveiled $18 billion worth of new spending, just 6 months out from the state Liberal government seeking re-election for a historical fourth term. The spending package included $450 million on free and half-price public transport fares, $760 million providing a 20% rebate on car registration, and $100 million for additional elective surgeries for children. And West Australian Treasurer Rita Sarfati also flagged that she's going to use the state's mining royalty riches to bankroll major cost of living assistance in Thursday's Western Australian budget, insisting she holds no concerns that new widespread handouts could undermine the nation's inflation battle. Ahead of the May the 12th budget, Chalmers is presiding over near-record federal spending, which, as a share of the economy, is a 40-year high, excluding the pandemic, as Australia faces a decade of deficits. Bullock on Tuesday said rate rises put the Monetary Policy Board in a position where we have space to be alert to both sides of the risks, the inflation and potential risk to the downside if the war continues. And if the global energy crisis were a temporary supply shock, then of course the RBA could look through it and not feel the need to raise interest rates to deal with it. But there are two things preventing it from doing that. The first is that the energy crisis looks anything but temporary. In fact, if the conflict was resolved tomorrow, Iran will retain the ability to close the Straits of Hormuz with a few cheap drones or a handful of explosive-laden speedboats. So the leaders of every advanced economy have suddenly realised all at once, actually, that they need more insurance against this possibility. And the way to purchase that insurance is to increase liquid fuel reserves. That means elevated demand matched to restricted supply for an extended period. And that means higher prices for petrol, diesel, aviation fuel and fertilisers, probably for, well, years. The second problem for the RBA is that it's playing catch-up on dealing with the post-pandemic inflation. 4 years plus on from the end of the pandemic and pre-energy crisis, Australia still had underlying inflation at 3.3% compared to the 2.5% target. So they failed. And just like a pitcher who has thrown too many balls and too few strikes, the RBA is behind on the count. It simply can't afford to allow inflation to gallop further away again and continue to spout unjustified platitudes about inflation expectations, quote, remaining anchored again and again and again. And of course, the other challenge the energy crisis brings is the damage it does to economic growth. Higher fuel prices will continue to ricochet through the economy, pushing costs and prices up while pushing GDP growth and living standards down. Now, the natural reflex for a central banker in such circumstances would be to cut interest rates to cushion the blow. But Bullock was rather direct in saying we must get on top of inflation now, so that it doesn't get away from us. And she emphasised concerns around inflation expectations being unmoored. That's not surprising, given the RBA has not adequately dealt with inflation for at least the last 4 years, while promising that everything's going to be fine soon, just down the road a bit. So the RBA has got itself in this massive jam. It's pursued a mistaken strategy to try to tackle post-pandemic inflation for far too long, well after it was evidently wrong as well. And it cut off optionality for dealing with a crisis, and then, of course, a crisis hit. And it's still got to deal with a government that thinks it can spend its way out of a cost of living crisis stemming from too much government spending. The truth is, the RBA needs to come clean with the Australian public. It needs to admit its mistakes and outline a new monetary policy strategy for handling the current situation, and come clean and level with the Australian public about the need for fiscal restraint and sustainability. The insistence, by most economists actually, that Labor's long-term failure to reduce government spending has also contributed to Australia's inflation being so high. For the Treasurer, it's become politically appealing to put more blame on the damaging impact of Donald Trump's overconfidence about Iran's ability to withstand US military might. But domestic inflation was already a big problem for Australia before the war, and it's becoming far worse as the costs of the oil shortages created by the war increasingly flow through the entire economy. And government policies across the states and federally are creating the embedded pressures on households. So it seems just as likely that there's going to be more bad news to come on rates, with a statement saying that the risks, including inflation expectations, remain tilted to the upside. Having raised the cash rate 3 times, monetary policy is well placed to respond to developments, which is central banker speak for keeping its options wide open. An alternative risk, of course, is the economy ends up in an outright recession, as higher rates combine with higher prices to kill off growth, jobs, and investment. The recent dramatic drop in business and consumer sentiment is actually clear warning signs, along with many ASX companies delivering grim trading updates and profit warnings as the world goes on and on and on. The bottom line, the governor said, is that this is a real income shock for Australia and the world. Australians are poorer, and there is no way out of that. Although the bank doesn't mention the dreaded term stagflation, actually, it comes mighty close. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.